All right, it's good to see y'all today. And if you're able to stand for the reading of God's Word, we're doing a series of messages from 2 Corinthians. And this morning we're looking at jars of clay. Your version may say earthen vessels. That's what mine says, earthen vessels. And so we're going to read 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 6 through 15. Listen closely to the verses as we go and the message that is in those verses. And the title of the message is Jars of Clay, and I'm in the New King James Version. So here we go, starting in verse 6 of chapter 4. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We are hard pressed on every side. Lots of pressure in this world, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So then, death is working in us, but life in you. And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke. Isn't it amazing what belief does? It affects what we say. We also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. Verse 15, for all things are for your sakes, that grace, having spread through the many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for your word. And God, how it blesses us, how it's the manna from heaven. It's the bread of life. It's the truth from the God of all eternity to mortal men, that we might find eternal life in you and how to live a life separated to your glory. Father, we thank you for it. Open our hearts this morning. Open our eyes to understand it. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I heard about, and this is a true story, written in the Massachusetts Bar Association Lawyers Journal, are printed some things that lawyers asked witnesses while the witnesses were on the stand. And so these are actual recorded questions asked by lawyers to the witnesses. And I want you to hear some of these questions and how communication works. And one lawyer said to the witness, he said, now, doctor, isn't it true that when a person dies in his sleep, he doesn't know about it until the next morning? That's how I reacted. Here's another question. The youngest son, the 20-year-old, how old is he? Here's another one. Were you present when your picture was taken? Here's another one. Were you alone or by yourself? Was it you or your younger brother who was killed in the war? I'm not real bright, but I think I can get a law degree if I ask that question. Did he kill you? How far apart were the vehicles at the time of the collision? You were there until the time you left. Is that true? She had three children, right? The witness says yes. How many were boys? The witness says none. One more question. Were any of them girls? You say the stairs went down to the basement. Yes. And the stairs, did they go back up also? I got to skip some of these or we'll be all day. How was your first marriage terminated? By death. And by whose death was it terminated? Can y'all believe this? Doctor, how many autopsies have you performed on dead people? I love the answer. All my autopsies are performed on dead people. Do you recall the time you examined the body? The autopsy started around 8:30 p.m. And Mr. Dennington was dead at the time. Yes, he was. I mean, it's just crazy. Here's one more. Mr. Slattery, you went on a rather elaborate honeymoon, didn't you? I went to Europe, sir. And you did take your new wife? Questions that are asked. For whatever the motivation was in that, I do not know. Maybe to get something documented on paper. I do not know. But the question that we have can seem a little bit stupid. And the question is, do we recognize where the treasure dwells within us? Do we recognize it? Because in the Bible, he's talking about, look at the verse, look at verse 6, chapter 4, verse 6. He says, "For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." And it can seem almost confusing in that last part of verse 6, where he says, "shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." What he's talking about is really very simple. He's saying the God of Genesis chapter 1, the God that created the heavens and the earth, the God that spoke light into existence, is the same God that put light and spoke salvation and the new nature into your heart. He's the same God. That God of creation worked the same miracle to give you light, but the light is produced in the face of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the light bulb that is screwed into the socket, and apart from Jesus, you could have no knowledge of God. Because the face of Jesus is the knowledge of God. Jesus said that I have taken all things that he revealed it unto me and revealed it unto you. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So we see the Father, we see the knowledge of God through the face of Jesus Christ. That's how it works. And today I brought and we're going to get into the outline in a second, but I brought this clay vessel to kind of help illustrate who we are. Because the Bible says that we are earthen vessels, that this treasure in verse 7, but we have this treasure. Well, what is the treasure? The treasure is in verse 6. It's what we have in our heart, given to us by God. It's that relationship that we have to Jesus Christ. And he says, we have this treasure in an earthen vessel. In other words, we're like clay, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. The power that we have has never been of us. It's always of God. We're just clay. And if you take and before you, don't turn the lights down yet, Steve, I want to do something. Now, David Wallace picked this up one time at a garage sale, and Teresa loved it, and so he gave it to us. It's pretty heavy. That's an earthen vessel. And I asked David what this was this morning, and I'm sorry to say this is a chamber pot. But this is all I've got, and we got to work with what I've got. But this is a chamber pot, and it's, of course, old-timey, and it's been cleaned. I even washed it this morning. And it's made out of clay. You can see the clay. You can't, but I can. It's got lots of chips. It even has a place in the clay that where there was a scar, and it's ceramic right over that scar in the clay. It's still there. But what we are is we're like this. This clay vessel is real brittle. You actually have to be careful with it, because if I dropped it on the concrete, it would bust. It's brittle, it has to be taken care of, but it's a great preservative of things. It's great to put things in. And the Bible saying first in verse 6 that God took us, clay, brittle, subject to sin, sinners, emotional. Sometimes we fly off the handle, sometimes we don't. Weak people, and he put something in it. And if you can turn off these lights right here, Steve. I got a light in here. I don't know if y'all can see that. But that's what Jesus has done. On the outside, people just see a vessel. But what God sees is what's on the inside. And as long as we submit to what's on the inside, we'll be all right. But if we think that with our mind and with our wisdom and with our knowledge that we can live this Christian life independent of God, then we're really like this right here. Warning lights are going off. The Lord is saying, uh-uh, you better get surrendered back to me because I can make your life very painful until you do. Warning signals, the conscience is being convicted. The Spirit, God is saying you need to get right. You need to turn back to me and you need to trust in me. And we've said it, you can turn the lights back on. Thank you so much, Steve. And the Lord is saying, you can trust me because what's inside of you is so much more powerful than what is about you. And so we have to remind ourselves every single day that we are clay. And so in your outline, how are we sustained? And Paul's going to talk about this. We are sustained, number one, by his inner presence. Just like that light that was in that vessel. Now, the word for clay that is used there in the Greek is ostrakinos. And it's another word, ostraka, by which archaeologists use to talk about pottery sherds. You might read in the Old Testament or even in the book of Job about potsherds, broken pottery. If I broke this on the ground, you'd have potsherds. And so when they're doing an archaeological dig and they come across these pottery shards or these sherds, they examine those and they can figure out time periods based on the makeup of the pottery. And so it's real important to an archaeologist. And so this vessel is clay. It can crack. It can be dropped. It's brittle. It has to be handled gently. But what's inside the clay will not crack. Will last for eternity. That's because that is your new nature. That is the salvation that he has given you. Here's what tends to happen to us. We go through and maybe for a few days, things are going really good. We're in a mountaintop experience. Things are going great. I mean, our health is pretty good. Things are going good with the finances. Things are going good at home. Everything's really going pretty good. But then we get caught out of left field with something. Satan attacks. Something hits us that we weren't ready for, and all of a sudden the clay tries to react instead of the light that's within the clay. Instead of us acknowledging his presence, humbling ourselves before God and saying, Lord, I don't want to mess this up. Lord, I don't want to get in the way of what you're doing. Lord, I don't want to respond in the wrong way on this. God, I don't want to have actions that are not going to be right. Lord, I'm clay and I recognize it, and my clay is pretty upset. In my clay right now, I feel a root of bitterness trying to grow. In my clay right now, I'm not very happy. In my clay right now, I'm perplexed. I'm wondering, God, where were you at? In my clay right now, I feel like I'm being crushed on every side. And the Lord is saying, quit looking at the clay and look at what's in the clay. Because everything that's happening to you, I've already seen it before it came to pass. And if you'll trust me and listen to my voice, I'll guide you one step at a time, one little thing at a time. I'm going to guide you through it. And what you're going to discover is this. Through the hardship, I've got some glory that's going to come to pass. You can't see the glory because you just see the clay. But if you'll give me time, I'm going to show you what I had planned. But you got to trust me. You got to be listening to the Holy Spirit. You got to keep your ears tuned to me. You got to stay in prayer.
I can't tell you the importance and how important prayer is. So how do we activate that presence? If the presence is in us and we know about the presence and we have the Holy Spirit in us, how do we activate that presence to where the clay does not get in the way? First of all, you got to say yes. You got to say yes. We say this all the time. Secondly, you've got to pray. And I love that song. Have y'all heard that C.C. Wyman song that's Believe For It? Man, that's a good song, Believe For It. I've never heard it before, and Steve and Stacy told me about it, and I've listened to it so many times. And Teresa can sing it, and it just sounds so good. Believe For It. If you ever get a chance, Google C.C. Wyman, Believe For It. And listen to the words of that song. And you activate the presence of God, listen, by obedience and prayer. Let me give you an example. Acts chapter 8, verses 27 and verse 30, really. And I want to share this with you because it's so important. You can remember the story. It's when Philip is with the disciples, and I mean they're having church in Jerusalem. Things are going really good. People are getting saved. The gospel is spreading, and all of a sudden an angel comes to Philip and says, you know what, you need to leave Jerusalem, you need to go down to Gaza, which is out in the desert. I just need you to go that way, and got something we're going to do. And you know what the Bible says about Philip? Now, I'm sure Philip was perplexed in his clay, just like Paul said a while ago in 2 Corinthians. I'm sure Philip said, this is perplexing. This doesn't make sense, God. Why would you want me to leave what you're doing right here, where the gospel is spreading and people are getting saved, there's revival going on? Why do you want me to leave to go to a desert place? But you know how Philip responded, and that's why God could use Philip in a powerful way. Verse 27 says, so he arose and went. He didn't question God. He just obeyed. So he arose and went. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury, had come to Jerusalem to worship. You see, there was a man that was very high ranking, worked right under the king, kept up with the money. And this man specifically came to Jerusalem to worship the Lord. He wanted to find out about this God of the Jews. And so he gets there, and he has the money to have something not everybody can have. He had a scroll of Isaiah. And he's in his chariot reading in Isaiah. And Philip comes running up there. And I love verse 29 and 30. There's two words, so. One word in verse 27 and another one in verse 30. And in verse 29, then the Spirit, catch this, in the clay vessel, that light, the Spirit said to Philip, go near and overtake this chariot. Bible says in verse 30, so Philip ran to him. You see what's happening there, and I think that the writers wanted to make sure we didn't miss it. The power of the blessing and the power of God doing the great work and his glory was connected to the simple yes. It was connected to the simple step of obedience. When Philip just said, all right, and he didn't argue, and he just took off at the little voice of God, what happens is it led him right into the favor of God, right into the blessing of God, right where God wanted to win somebody to Christ. And I love the last part of that, because when Philip goes up to overtake the chariot, the Bible says, so Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah. And Philip said, do you understand what you're reading? And the eunuch said, how can I understand unless someone guides me? And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. Now, I'm going to skip a few verses because I want you to catch something. The last verse that this man read out loud that Philip heard, or the last portion of verse, was this. For his life is taken from the earth. That's the last part of a verse that Philip heard. For his life is taken from the earth. Verse 35 says, then Philip opened his mouth and beginning at this scripture. You know why he began at that scripture? Because the eunuch had a question about that one. He says, I ask you, of whom does the prophet say this, of himself or some other man? And the Bible says that Philip opened up at that scripture and he preached Jesus
to him. He preached Jesus to him. That man gets baptized. That man is saved. And that man will be in heaven one of these days simply because Philip was hanging out with the disciples, preaching the gospel, and the Lord spoke to his heart, spoke in his clay vessel, and said, just do this. How often does God speak to your heart? So you activate his presence, and when you activate his presence, that's number two, you'll activate his power. That's the inner power. Look at verse 7, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. He says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. And then he gives examples of how the clay gets in the way. And so he's saying, but because of what's in me, there is a power that dwells in me that transcends the clay that makes up me. I always thought it was interesting, too, based on that verse, that the Bible says we were made of clay. Now, I used to hear something when I was a kid that girls were made of all things spicy and nice, and boys were made out of what? Dirt and something else. Do y'all remember that nursery rhyme? I kind of like that because we like to dig in the dirt and dug tunnels and everything else. I like being a boy. I was glad God made me a boy. And he says, but in that clay, there's things happening. You're hard-pressed. But you're not crushed, you're perplexed, you're persecuted but not forsaken, you're struck down but not destroyed. Why? Because there's a power within that is greater. And here's what's happening, verse 10. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. Now, I got one more example of how to see this. This one is on Stephen in Acts chapter 7, verses 54 through 56. And you can remember the story. Stephen is preaching the gospel to a lot of people, a lot of Jews. And as he's preaching the gospel, he's telling them about what Jesus came to do and how he came to save. And the Bible says that their hearts were cut to the heart. The message was hard to hear, but it was truth. And verse 54 says this. Says, when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed at him with their teeth. But look at verse 55. But he, being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God, and said, look, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. Now, we get that backwards sometimes in this text. And we think that Stephen is already being stoned when that happens. Stephen is seeing this even before they're throwing the rocks. He's already seeing the heavens opened. He's already seeing the glory of God. You know why? Because Stephen was preaching the word by the presence of God. He had activated the presence. He didn't fall on his education. He didn't fall on his wisdom. He didn't fall on any of those things. Stephen fell on the Holy Spirit that was within him. And he preached the word of God with boldness because he had activated the presence of God for the very situation he was in. And now he is operating in the power of the Holy Spirit. And God allows him something. And he allows him to look up into heaven. I can't imagine what he was experiencing at that given moment. When we get to heaven, we can ask him. And when he looks up, he sees the heavens open. The veil, the curtain had been pulled back to where Stephen could see literally into the throne room of God. And when he looks through the curtain of time, looks into eternity, he sees Jesus not sitting at the right hand of God, but standing at the right hand of God, because he told us in Matthew, I will be with you always, even unto the end of the age. That includes Stephen. That includes Bruce Rudd. That includes you today. He will be with you even to the end of the age, because the power has never been about us. It's been about what he has done in us. And so it requires us on a daily basis doing some things, and here they are. It's on your outline. Dependence on Christ activates the power within us. And how does it demonstrate it? Demonstrated by a spirit of, number one, dying. Look at verse 10, 2 Corinthians. He says, always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. Now, what does that mean? When Paul said, and I die daily, what did he mean by that? What he means is that whenever temptation comes, whenever something attacks my clay to make me obey the things of the flesh, the things of the world, I'm going to put it to death so that the things of Christ can be what's seen and can be what's lived. I'm going to put those things to death, and I'm going to carry about in my body the death of those things to the world so that you can see Jesus Christ being manifested in my life. And then there's another one, and it's this one. It's our faith. He says in verse 13, he says, and since we have the same spirit of faith, where did you get that faith? According to what is written, I believed, and therefore I spoke. We also believe, and therefore speak. The Bible says in Romans 10, 17, that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That faith is a gift from God that he has given us. And he's saying, you've got the presence, you've got the power. Now what you need to do is apply it by faith. And when you apply it by faith, what you're doing is you've got keys to the kingdom. And you're seeing God operate in your life because of that. It's a powerful thing. And matter of fact, I got Caitlin, and she brought it in here and laid it on the stage, I guess, to bring a stethoscope. Did I say that right? A stethoscope. Now, when I put this stethoscope on, I can't hear nothing right now. Hello? I can hear a heartbeat. That's a good sign. Now, I've never wore a stethoscope from the pulpit before, so I know it probably looks stupid, but I'm trying to make a point. A stethoscope allows us to hear something that we cannot see. I know that you're alive because I can see you sitting there and you're breathing. That means your heart is beating, okay? But your heartbeat, a person who has a dead faith or a person who is not exercising faith, you cannot hear the pulse and you cannot see the life. The life is a false image if it's a dead faith. But if you're born again and you're activating the presence and the power of God, there is something that I cannot see. I can see it operating. I can see it in the way you live, but I can't see it with my physical eyes because it's inside a clay vessel. But when you're living by faith and you're trusting the Lord by faith, he's going to hear a heartbeat. Toot-toot, toot-toot, toot-toot. He's saying, I hear the heartbeat of faith, and that heartbeat of faith, oh, it pleases me, the Lord says in Hebrews 11. I hear that heartbeat of faith. You're going through your day today, but there's a heartbeat of faith. You're going through a really rough night in that clay, but it's a heartbeat of faith. And I'll tell you, you got to be careful because the flesh will fool you. I got to hurry, too. There's two more. So we have a heartbeat of faith that God sees. Then we also trust in the resurrection. Look at verse 14. Knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. Y'all remember those Weeble Wobbles? Does anybody remember a Weeble Wobble? You knock a Weeble Wobble down, things stand right back up. We live a resurrected life. When you and I fall in the clay, when the clay messes us up and we fall, we're like a Weeble Wobble. Satan's knocking us around like this. We're like a Weeble Wobble. We just keep bouncing right back up. We're living the resurrection life today, and we have hope of a resurrection for the future. We're just a Weeble Wobble. We just keep bouncing back, and the world can't understand it. Why? Because the world's living based on the clay. We're living based on the treasure that's in the clay. And what does that do? It causes us to give thanksgiving. I can remember a few days ago, man, I was tired. Y'all ever got tired, physically tired? I got physically tired. I was so tired. I mean, I couldn't think. I was just ready to just lay down. And I went and laid down in the bed real early. And I was so weak. And Teresa was kind of in one of those moody moods, you know. And she came in there, and I'm going somewhere with this. And it's still early in the day, and there's things she's needed me to do, you know. And I said, I'm just so tired. I'm just so weak feeling right now. And she was in a grumpy mood, and she looks down at my shirt, and my shirt says warrior all the way across the front. I got a black shirt on. It says warrior across the front, and she laughs. She says, And you're wearing a shirt that says warrior. You're not a warrior right now. No, I was weak. I was in my clay and I was tired. I was just absolutely worn out. I was physically and mentally exhausted. I needed a break. And I look up at Teresa. She's laughing at my shirt that's not doing a good definition for my actions. And she's wearing a shirt that says happy camper. So I point back at Teresa. And I said, and you're wearing a shirt that says happy camper. And she looks, and we both started laughing, and we gave each other a big hug. It was so funny. I thank the Lord for those two shirts. Those two shirts caused us to give each other a hug, and those two shirts reminded us, I'm not much of a warrior sometimes, and Teresa's not much of a happy camper sometimes. But she's a happy camper most of the time, so I want to make that disclaimer. But whenever God is doing a work in our life and we're walking by faith and we're trusting of the Spirit that's in us and we're activating His presence and we're activating His power, you know what we're going to do? We're going to give God thanks, and that's what we're going to do right now. And then we're going to go to the Lord in prayer. I just want to give y'all an example of the Thanksgivings. We announced 3 Wednesdays ago on a Wednesday night that we had this short-term goal of meeting a $312,000 goal, short-term goal, to satisfy all of our debts with the contractor. And we announced it at a business meeting on a Wednesday night, the same day that we received it. And it's been now 3-4 weeks later. And to my knowledge, before church started today, we should be right at or already be over that need in 3 weeks. Give yourself a hand. And we rarely talk about money. I try not to address it from the pulpit because I'm jealous for the gospel. But sometimes you need to hear these things. And the money was coming in last week so fast, I mean, you couldn't keep up. Just kept people coming in with smiles on their faces. Here, put that towards this. Put that towards this. Smiles on their faces. And you know what happens? Many thanksgivings are given to God. Because we know it was not us. It was not us. It's the Holy Spirit working within us. Y'all, that's amazing what has happened just in the last few weeks. After all of the giving that you've done for this build to even be where it is today. It's crazy. That leaves us, as of right now, not counting anything came in today, and then I'll be done. The only outstanding debt, I say only, but I want you to understand, it's the only thing left that we have is the $3.8 million at the bank. As of Tuesday, Monday's a holiday, Tuesday, the check will be given to the general contractor. That's a blessing. And it is an absolute miracle that when we did this, we stepped out on faith and we wondered, God, how can this happen? It couldn't work on paper. We all knew it. But it works by faith. God hears our heartbeat. Keep trusting Him every day. We're going to do the same for the 3.8. We're going to trust Him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You, Father, that the treasure is not us. The treasure is in us. That, God, we're so weak on the outside. Sometimes our minds are so weak, they're so brittle. Our emotions are brittle. We can get so bitter, we can get so judgmental, we can get so critical because we're just clay. But You've redeemed us, and You've placed something in us that is so much greater. Father, help us never to put any confidence in our flesh, but all our confidence in You. You may be in here this morning and perhaps you haven't received that treasure, but you want to. You can say, Lord Jesus, I believe that You're God. I'm understanding things about God through the face of Jesus Christ. And Jesus, I believe that You died on the cross for my sin. You took my sin debt. You paid a debt that You did not owe. I owed a debt that I could not pay, and You paid for it at Calvary. You were buried, and You suffered the death that I deserve. You took my sin into the grave, but You resurrected on the third day, apart from sin, but to give out those pardons of salvation. You say you can just take your hand of faith, and you can lift it up right now from your heart, and you can say, Jesus, I come to You just as I am right now.
I come to you. I trust you. I receive you. And Lord, I can't fix myself. I can't clean myself up. But Lord, I come to you and I just let you do it. My clay is all marred. It's brittle. But Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my life. And you can receive him for your Savior for all of eternity. You may be in here this morning and you've just been perplexed. You've been tried, you're oppressed, you're under pressure, you're frustrated. Your zeal, you're struggling with that passion and zeal for the Lord. You're struggling, you're having questions, you've got fears and anxieties. That's the clay. And you can't trust the clay, but you can trust what God's put in your heart. Turn back to him in prayer. Men always ought to pray and not lose heart. That's where our hope comes from. You can pray and you can get back in the Word of God, because in the Word of God you'll be fed. And when you're fed, it's like sunshine on your soul. Lord, we love you and we need you. Do in our hearts what only you.